Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the fourth week of our series called Rhythms, and this week, Pastor Josh Finkley explains why you should endure your trials and troubles even when you are tired. Enjoy the message.
So how you guys doing? Y'all doing okay today? Good, good. Good to see you guys. I want to welcome those of you who are here in Conway. I'm sure we've got a few people who are watching online right now, and we're thankful for you. If you're online and you're new with us, or if you're on demand, maybe watching this later, then let me challenge you to use that digital connect corner. We would love to connect with you. If you're new with us, we got a gift for you, you need prayer, anything like that, go to that connect corner that you see on the screen. For those of you in Conway, just stop by the physical connect corner right over there in the corner. We would love to take care of you, all right? And today's going to be a good day. We're going to continue in this series called Rhythms, but I need to make a confession at the very beginning that we're going to talk about rhythms. And today we're going to talk about this fourth rhythm in our line of rhythms that we've been going through. And I just need to confess to you, this is a rhythm that is not high on my competency list, and either is that word, competency lists. That this is just a rhythm I'm not very good at, all right? I'm just going to tell you that, all right? That I'm not very good at this one. And just so you know what it is, it's tenacity or endurance, whatever word you want to use there. That I just have to admit with you, I'm not a finisher. Okay? Well, like, I love to start projects. I love to get things going. I love to dream up things. But as I get dreaming, as I get going, all of a sudden I get bored and I see something over here. I'm like, let's go do this now. And the perfect realization of this is if you just go look at my house. Because I love to start projects and I hate to finish them. That every project I've pretty much done, there's a little bit of trim work that I still haven't gotten to, all right? Like literally this week, I redid my laundry room, and I have a friend who happens to be in this service who said, Josh, I saw your laundry room. Are you gonna put a piece of trim up on that board you put there? I was like, why would I do that? And she said, because it's not finished, okay? But I'm going, no, it looks great. I love it, all right? Just the way it is. It's so bad. This is no joke. I'm not making this up. So bad, this week, I took a personality test, all right? And I do them all the time. You know, they're just fun for me. I know what my personality is. I know who I am. But I was listening to this podcast, and this guy who does some coaching, he's got a new one out. And I was like, well, I'll just take it real quick. And it rates you on six different things. And one of the things it'll rate you on is tenacity or endurance. And I scored the weakest in that area. And I literally thought, great. I've got to preach about endurance in 3 days, and it's telling me this is a weakness in my life. Yep, it is. Especially in areas that I think it doesn't matter. And I think putting trim work on my laundry room doesn't matter. Now, I know some of you would say, that's a lie. It matters. But here's what I'm trying to get at. On little things like that, let's just be honest, it doesn't matter. Or maybe I should say it this way. In your marriage, it matters to finish. To finish, to have tenacity, it matters. In your family, it matters. In your career, in your calling, maybe in your schooling, it matters. In your relationships, it matters. Most importantly, when it comes to our faith walk, endurance matters. That none of us want to say, well, I've started a faith walk, I just didn't finish a faith walk. I started a marriage, I just didn't finish a marriage. I started being part of my family, I didn't finish being in my family. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's some areas where maybe it doesn't matter, but there are definitely areas where it definitely matters. And these are some areas of our life today that I want to encourage you to finish. I want to encourage you to endure. As it says in the scripture that we've been studying, it's from 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is the verse we've been saying every week. We've just been adding to it. We've been adding the next part. And it starts by this. It says, supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence, knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. Those are the three rhythms we've already hit. And with self-control, patient endurance. That we've got to add patient endurance so that we will be most effective. So that we will be productive. Because remember, this whole rhythm sermon or this whole rhythm series is based out of this verse, and you get down to verse 8 where it says, so that you will be more effective. That I want to endure so that I'll be more effective in my faith. But it's not just about endurance, it's about patient endurance. That if I'm going to endure, I have to be patient. Well, what are the things I'm going to have to endure in this life? Trials and troubles. Those are two things I can guarantee in your life you're going to face. And in those two things, what would it look like to have patient endurance? And they're different. I'm going to put two different definitions with them today. They're my definitions, things that when I think of trials, I think this. When I think of troubles, I think this. And what I want to say is first that we have to patiently endure our trials. And when I say trials, I mean things that happen to you that you have no control over. And those happen to all of us. That we all have things that will happen to us that we don't necessarily have any control of. It might be something with your health. It might be cancer has come to you or to a family member. It might be COVID has come to you or a family member. It might be diabetes. It might be some other kind of illness or something that is attacking your body that is a trial. It's not your fault. You didn't cause it. You had nothing to do with it. It's just something that has happened in your life. Maybe a trial is somebody has died. That you have suffered the loss of a loved one. Nothing that you had to do with it, but it is a trial that you are going through. Maybe the trial, again, is something you had nothing to do with, but it's affecting you. Maybe it's a financial hardship. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe that due to the economy, that your job just doesn't exist, so you're struggling financially. Maybe somebody made a decision that is affecting you. Maybe your parents are going through a divorce, and as a child, you're sitting there saying, man, I didn't want this, I didn't cause this, but I'm having to deal with it right now. And maybe you're married and your spouse just split, they just up and left. That you didn't have anything to do with it, you didn't have any decision part of it, they just made a decision to leave. And you might be sitting there now going, I didn't bring this into my life, I didn't cause it, I can't control it, but it's a trial. Here's another one, maybe somebody sinned against you. Maybe somebody did something that was a sin that has hurt you. I was talking to one of my mentors, and he shared a statistic with me last week. I was blown away by it. He said, and he works in the recovery world, so this is kind of his world he works in, that he said 1 out of 3 women have been sexually abused at some point in their life, and 1 out of 6 men. And I was shocked by that. And maybe that's you. You didn't cause it. You didn't want it. Obviously, you had nothing to do with it. But somebody sinned against you. And it's brought a trial into your life. Maybe that's a physical abuse, an emotional abuse, a mental abuse, or sexual abuse. Now, you had no decision part, but it's a trial now, and you're in it. Or here's one other. Maybe you're facing a trial due to your faith walk. Now, I'll just admit this. I think many times as Americans, American Christians, we don't necessarily understand this. Because for most American Christians, we don't face persecution. We don't face persecution like people in India or China or Turkey that they face, where if they surrender their life to Christ, then it means that they might get kicked out of their house or that they're going to suffer death. Somebody's going to kill them because of their faith walk. In America, most of us don't deal with that kind of persecution. But maybe you've been persecuted because of your stance that you have on an issue, because of your biblical belief. Maybe you face some persecution because you've made some decisions to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to go that direction because of my biblical belief here. And maybe it's alienated you, or maybe somebody has persecuted you, or you're going through a trial because of that. Here's what I'm trying to get at. Out of everything I've just said, chances are you would be able to say to at least one of those, you're dealing with it. Well, how do you endure it? And the way I would say that you endure any of those kind of trials is simply this. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Be strong. Like if you're taking notes, don't be shocked. Be strong. Because if you want to endure a trial, you can't be shocked. And that's what Peter was getting at. Peter was writing to a group of people who were Christians who were going through trials. You can read his first book that he wrote and his second one. They're technically letters. And both of them deal with this issue of you're going through a trial. And what he says to them is, I don't want you to be surprised by that. Now, look at it. It says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, don't be surprised or shocked that you're going through a testing that is like walking through fire. Like, there's not a lot of compassion there, is there? You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he came out with mercy there. He just said, oh, yeah, you're going through a trial? Well, does that surprise you? Does that shock you? And see, I think too many times as Christians, we're shocked by trials. I think too many times as people, we're shocked when we go through trials, because we'll say things like this. Well, if God is a loving God, why is this happening in my life? And then you'll surrender your life to Jesus and you'll think, okay, well, now at least I've told God I love him. So because I've decided to tell God I love him, therefore there'll be no more trials in my life. You can laugh because you'll go, I must not love God very well then, because I still got a lot of trials. See, unfortunately, some of you have been lied to. Some of you have been told, well, all you got to do is surrender your life to Jeezy, I was trying to say Jesus and easy, okay? That you think if you surrender your life to Jesus, life will be easy. That's a trial for me right now. Technically, it's a trouble. I'll get to that in a second. But you see what I'm getting at? Like, we think that if I have Jesus in my life, there's no troubles. Listen, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said the exact opposite. And I think that's the reason Peter, when he was talking to this group, he's like, listen, don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. Like, I think if he was face to face with him, he'd say, don't you remember? I mean, Jesus, when he was on earth, he said, in this life, you will have many trials. In this life, you will have many problems. In this life, you're going to deal with junk. But he said, but take courage, because I've overcome the world. That Jesus didn't say that you're not going to have trials. He just said, I'll help you get through the trials. I won't necessarily remove the trials from your life, but I'll help you get through them. That you can take my yoke upon you, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light, which is from Matthew 11. And what that means is Jesus is saying, listen, I'm not going to take the trial away necessarily, but I'll help you walk through the trial. And I think what happens, though, is when we face a trial, then we immediately think, why is this happening? And then we try to figure it out. And if we're not careful, we won't endure. Makes me think of the John the Baptist. If you know the story of John the Baptist, John the Baptist was a guy, he was a bold guy. He had a lot of tenacity. He was out there. He had a man full of grit. He ended up getting thrown in prison because of the words he was saying and because of his faith. But before he got thrown in prison, he baptized Jesus. And when he baptized Jesus, he saw the Holy Spirit come down on Jesus like a dove. He heard the voice of the Father say, "This is my son who I am well pleased in." Like if anybody should be able to have faith in Jesus, if anybody be like, "No, Jesus is the man," it would be John the Baptist because he was part of that baptism. But because John was in prison and he knew that eventually it was going to lead to his death, he ended up sending word to Jesus through his friends. And he said, "Go to Jesus and find out if he's truly the Messiah." So his friends went to Jesus and said, John the Baptist, you know, he's in prison and he's struggling. He's going through a trial. He wants to know, are you the promised one or should he expect somebody else?" And it would make sense that Jesus would go, "Dude, was he not at my baptism? Did he not hear the Father? Did he not see the Spirit?" It would have been real easy for Jesus to go that direction. But what Jesus simply did is he said, "Just go back and tell him what you see. Tell him the evidence. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. Go tell him that I am." And they leave. And then Jesus says this to the crowd. He says, "Blessed are the ones that don't fall away on account of me." And here's what Jesus means by that. He's saying that based on John. He doesn't rebuke John. He doesn't say, "How dare John not have faith?" He's basically saying, "Man, John is surprised and shocked that he's going through a trial. And he's upset because I haven't shown up." What would have happened in John's mind if he would have said, "I'm not surprised by this. I'm not shocked by this. I know that I'm going to endure some trials, but God's still with me." See the difference? If we're not shocked, we can be strong because we will go through trials. John was over there and he's going through a trial and he's like, "I need Jesus to come." And Jesus didn't come, but what did Jesus do? Went to a cross and died so that John could have everlasting life. So Jesus might not show up the way you want him to, but Jesus does show up. Jesus might not do exactly what you want him to, but Jesus will walk with you through the trial. So don't be shocked, be strong, because it'll produce in you a better faith that leads to eternity, and it'll help others come to eternal life as well. Look at this next verse. It says this, "Dear friends," I'm reading it again, the first part of it. "Don't be surprised, don't be shocked that you're going through testing that is like walking through fire. Be glad for the chance to suffer as Christ suffered. It will prepare you for even greater happiness when he makes his glorious return." Meaning, that trial is going to help you. And look at this one. This is from Paul, from 2 Timothy chapter 2. We read it this week in our reading plan. "So I am willing," this is Paul speaking, "I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory." You know what Paul's saying there? He's saying, "I'm suffering a lot of trials. I'm in prison. I've been beaten. I've been shipwrecked. But I will endure anything if it brings salvation to somebody else." Now, some of you here are Christ followers. You've surrendered your life to Christ and you're going through a trial. Have you thought about it that way? Are you willing to say, as Paul did, "I'll go through this trial so that somebody else can come to Christ. I'm dealing with cancer, but because of cancer, I'm gonna preach the gospel to somebody else so that they can know the Lord. I'm going through some hardship, but I'm gonna go through this hardship so that somebody else can know the Lord. That I went through this abuse, but I'm gonna take my testimony about how God has brought me through it, and I'm gonna share it with somebody else so that they might come to the Lord and they might have eternal life as well." It's hard to say that. It'd be a lot easier, I think, if most of us say, "Can I just go stand on a street corner and tell people they need Jesus?" But what if that trial that you're going through right now leads to somebody else's salvation? Isn't it worth it? Yeah, it's quiet, I know. Because that's a hard one to say yes to. But it's where we need to get to. But let me move on to another one. Because so far I've just said this, that we need to patiently endure through trials by not being shocked, but by being strong. And there's another point, though, and that is that we need to patiently endure troubles. And there's a difference between a trial and a trouble. And let me put it in my own terms, okay? Again, these are my own terms, that there's a difference between a trial and a trouble. A trial, again, is something that is happening to you that you have no control over. You didn't bring it on. You didn't do anything. It's just happening. A trouble is something that you bring into your life. A trouble is something that maybe you would say that it's happening as a consequence of something that I've done. And I thought about what is the best way to say this, because when I go in and as we talk about these troubles, I want to do it in a way that we'll remember it. And if you know me, the way I preach, I often try to use rhyming words or alliteration because it helps me to remember what I need to say next, but it also helps you. That when we leave here, we go, yep, I got this. That when I'm enduring a trial, I'm not going to be shocked, I'm going to be strong. So when I'm enduring a trouble, I'm going to say it this way. Stop being stupid and start being smart. And you might go, oh, wait, is that what you just said? Yes, because I wrestled with this. Guys, hear me. I wrestled with this like crazy because I was like, what can I say that's going to help our middle school students, our high school students, our young adults? What's going to help them understand this part of the sermon? And I started thinking about troubles happen when we do stupid things, right? I mean, think about this. Who in here is willing to admit that you've done something stupid in life? I'm proud of you guys, because the 10 o'clock service, only a few of them did, okay? You guys are honest. You guys are authentic, okay? Because we all have. We've all done stupid things. And some of those stupid things is just a bad decision, right? Like not even a sinful decision, just a bad decision. Like some of you maybe have made some financial decisions. That was just not a wise decision. And because of it, you're having to walk through it. Maybe that stupid decision was just who you dated. Like maybe you decided to date somebody, and as you were dating them, you're like, that was a stupid decision, right? Calm down, I need to be careful. Am I preaching a little hard here, Marley? All right, my fault, you know? Like maybe that stupid decision sitting next to you. I don't know. Well, I need to think about that. Right? Like, let's just be honest. And let me just say this. High schoolers, college age, you're going to date somebody at some point in your life, and you're going to be like, that was a bad decision. It's going to happen. Hopefully you recognize it before you marry them. We're going to do it. We're going to make some bad decisions. But some of the decisions we make aren't just stupid, they're sinful. See the difference here? Making sin decisions are still stupid. It's still a stupid decision. But there's a difference between just saying, well, I dated this guy or this gal and it was a wrong decision, a bad decision, and I stepped into sin and slept with them. Or I started gossiping with my friends about somebody. Or I started to steal some things. Started small, but then it just... my friends were telling me, hey, it's okay to smoke weed. Everybody's doing it right now. Let's just go ahead and do that. And it's not just a stupid decision. It's a sinful decision. And we walk into it. And when we do that, well, we're going to suffer. There's going to be trial. There's going to be... it's going to be difficult when we allow troubles like that to come into our life. And I think that's what Peter's getting at here with this text again. Because at first he said that you're going to have to endure some trials, some persecution, some things like that. But then he says, but don't allow your suffering to be because of something stupid you've done. He doesn't use the word stupid, that's mine, but you'll see what I mean. He says it this way. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder or stealing or making trouble or prying into other people's affairs. And prying into other people's affairs, what that means, it's like gossip. It was a busybody. It was just getting in and just stirring people up. That's what he's trying to say. He's like, listen, if you're going to suffer, it should be for a trial, not because of trouble. But unfortunately, all of us have done things that are stupid in our life. So when you do, what do you do next? And that's the reason I say it this way. When you do something stupid, be smart. See, unfortunately, when we do something stupid, and I'm not calling anybody stupid, I'm saying when we do stupid things, oftentimes, rather than be smart, we just continue doing more stupid things. Think about it this way. Your mom says, hey, what were you doing last night? You're like, I can't tell my mom what I did last night, so I'm going to lie. And I tell her this lie. And then she says, well, how was that movie? I don't know. I didn't really watch the movie. So now let me lie again. And then she says, well, what about this? Well, now I got to tell another lie. Rather than back at the beginning saying, well, this is what I did and I just need to own it right now. I got to own my junk. Rather than lying again, if you already did something stupid, then stop the stupidity and say, I'm going to do what's right now. Let's think about this. Let's think about this. That we got to get smart. And the way we get smart is we stop. Let's say you allow a sin into your life and you start walking out that sin. And as you're walking out that sin, rather than continuing to sin, say, I'm going to stop. I'm going to be smart and I'm going to stop. And here's how we stop. You got to humble yourself. See, too many times we'll just keep running in it because of pride. We're unwilling to admit that we sinned. We're unwilling to admit that we're wrong. We got to stop by humbling ourselves and saying, you know what? What I did was wrong. Was wrong. And I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to stop. And then secondly, I'm going to repent. I'm going to tell God I'm sorry. I'm going to seek forgiveness. That whole second thing, if I could say it this way, stop by humbling yourself. And then secondly, seek forgiveness. Seek forgiveness from God and say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. And then after you've asked God for forgiveness, after you've surrendered your life to him and asked him to forgive you, because he will, then you seek forgiveness from the one you sinned against. Because if you did something that affected somebody else, now I need to go to them and I need to say, I am sorry for doing that. All right? And they might not forgive you. That's not your job. Your job is to ask forgiveness. If you're a Christian and somebody seeks forgiveness, then it is our job to forgive. That's what the Bible teaches. I don't have time to go into that right now. But we got to seek forgiveness. And then lastly, I'd say this with forgiveness. You got to forgive yourself. See, I think that's one that we struggle with. Oh, I got forgiveness from God. I even sought forgiveness from somebody else, but we can't forgive ourselves. And when we can't forgive ourselves, what ends up happening is we stay in that rhythm of sin rather than getting smart. Because I can't forgive myself, well, I might as well just do it again. Well, I can't forgive myself, well, here, I'll just wallow in it. We got to forgive ourselves. And then lastly, endure. See, let me put it together. That I have to endure troubles, because when I'm stupid, I've got to get smart. And the way I'm smart is I stop, I seek forgiveness, and then I endure, I patiently endure the consequence of my actions. And see, that's what we don't want to deal with. That we think, well, I sought forgiveness from God, and if I got forgiveness from God, then there shouldn't be any consequence of my actions. That's not how it works. That God can erase the sin, but it doesn't mean he'll erase the consequence. That when we do something stupid, when we sin, then there's going to be a consequence of that action. Think back to that verse from Peter where it says, don't murder, don't steal, don't meddle in other people's business. Think about King David for a second. King David was one day on his roof and he looked out and he saw Bathsheba and he lusted after her. So he called for her, found out she was Uriah's wife. And he said, that doesn't matter to me. So I want her to come to my roof. He stole from him. And then when she came to his roof, he slept with her. And then from there, she became pregnant. So he called Uriah from the battlefield who came and tried to get them back together. He meddled into their business. And then because that didn't work, he sent Uriah back out to the field and he murdered him. So David murdered, he stole, he meddled in other people's business. He did all those things. Eventually, he sought forgiveness, which is great. But I want you to recognize the rest of his life, there was consequences. For the rest of his life, he dealt with family strife because of his sin. And I think too many times what happens is we go, well, I asked God for forgiveness. Why hasn't things gotten better? Because there's a consequence of the action. So you have to patiently endure that there are some things that happened in our marriage and now we've had strife, but we're going to try to fix it. But we've been trying to fix it for a month. Listen, patiently endure. That there's some strife going on with my parents, and I know I lied to them, but now they're not trusting me and they won't let me have the car keys yet. Patiently endure. There's consequence of the action. I've just got to endure it, because if I don't, I'll fall back into stupidity. You see what I'm getting at? That I need to patiently endure trials and troubles, and I need to patiently endure when I'm tired. I want you to think about this, and we're going to move into a time of response. I want you to think about it this way. That I have to patiently endure when I'm tired. Because here's what I know. Some of you are going through trials right now. And you're tired. And it's like, I'm so tired of the illness. I don't want to keep going. I don't want to keep fighting. It's hard. Patiently endure. Some of you are going through troubles because you're just dealing with the consequence of a decision that you've made in the past. And you're just like, I might as well just give up. I might as well just go in and enjoy myself, drink, and be merry. I'm tired of the consequence of just the ripple effect of my action. I just want it to be better. Patiently endure. You might be tired of those troubles. You might be tired of those trials. Patiently endure, even though you're tired. Because Christ will strengthen you. He will restore you. He will support you. He will put you on a firm foundation. Look back at 1 Peter chapter 5. He says it this way. He says, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, if you go to the Greek, which is what the New Testament was originally written in, that word means momentary. That you have some momentary trials. You have some momentary troubles. And I know in your mind, you might think, well, what's momentary? Is momentary a week? Is momentary a year? Is momentary 10 years? Is momentary my whole life? I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't know. That it, you might deal with that trial or that trouble for a week. You might deal with it for the rest of your life. But either way, whether you're dealing with this trial and trouble now or whether and it ends, or whether you deal with it for the rest of your life, notice, to God, it's momentary. It is all momentary, because this life is short compared to eternal life. But either way, what you need to realize is, whether you're in the midst of the trial or the trial's about to pass, you can trust God, because he will restore, he will support, he will strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. I want you to see those words and think about it this way. While I'm in the midst of my trial, he will strengthen me, he will support me, he will restore me, and he will put you on a firm foundation. While I'm in the midst of my trouble, he will strengthen me, he will support me, he will restore me, and he'll put me on a firm foundation. That he won't take the trial away from you necessarily. He can, he might, doesn't mean that he will. He won't take the consequence, the trouble away from you. He might, doesn't necessarily mean he will. But what he does promise is, while you go through it, he will support you. What he does promise is, on the other side of eternity, he will be with you. If we surrender, if we walk with him. So the challenge today is, patiently endure no matter how hard it is. Because life is going to be hard, right? There's going to be times of trials. There's going to be times of trouble. There's going to be times when you're tired. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But think about this. You get to choose which type of hard you endure. I was talking to Clay about this, and Clay's our Coastal Campus and this gym pastor, and he's preaching this message there at Coastal, and he wrote this thing, and he shared it with me, and I was like, that's it. Because what he was sharing with me is, he said, you're going to choose a type of hard. You just have to decide which type you want to choose. And this is what I mean. It says this. He says, being your best is hard, but being normal is hard. Making good decisions is hard. Making bad decisions leads to hard. Being in shape is hard. Being out of shape is hard. Working out is hard. Being weak is hard. Being disciplined is hard. Being lazy is hard. Studying is hard. Not studying is hard. Loving yourself is hard. Comparing yourself to others is hard. Getting out of your comfort zone is hard. Living in your comfort zone is hard. Starting a business is hard. Working for someone else is hard. Having financial discipline is hard. Having financial problems is hard. Listening to your parents is hard. Not listening to your parents is hard. Being in a great relationship is hard. Being in a bad relationship is hard. Honoring your parents is hard. Dishonoring your parents is hard. Fighting for your marriage is hard. Going through divorce is hard. Living on purpose is hard. Not knowing your purpose is hard. Living God's way is hard. Living your way is hard. Being morally excellent is hard. Being immoral is hard. Knowing God's word is hard. Not knowing God's word is hard. Being spirit controlled is hard. Being sin controlled is hard. Enduring is hard. Not enduring is hard. Life will never be easy. It will always be hard. We get to choose what kind of hard we're going to endure. And what I hope for you, what I hope for me, is on the things that matter, we will endure patiently. You're going through a trial. I can't soften the blow, but I can challenge you to endure it, knowing that Jesus is walking with you. You're going through troubles. I can't erase the consequence, but I can encourage you to endure because Jesus will walk through it with you. You're tired. Come to Him. He will give you rest. You're burdened. Take His yoke on you, for His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Walk with Him and let Him do the heavy lifting. We're going to spend some time and we're going to respond and worship a little bit. And during this time, maybe you want to come up and take communion. It's on the front of the stage. Maybe you want to go to the prayer corner. Maybe you want to take a step of baptism. Maybe you need somebody to pray over you because right now you just feel like throwing in the towel. Man, we don't want that for you. We want to come alongside of you. We want to pray for you. Maybe you're dealing with some consequences of your actions and you're just like, man, is it tough? Repent. Stop. Repent. Get right with God. And then walk it out. Maybe you don't have Jesus in your life right now and you feel like you're going through life all alone. There's no reason for you to leave here today. There's no reason for those of you watching online that you need to be alone. Jesus wants to be in a relationship with you right now. So if you're here, say a prayer. Don't keep that private though. Go public, come to the Connect Corner. If you're online, go to the Connect Corner. Let's go to Jesus and let's endure like He did. Because if there's anybody who's a model of endurance, it's Jesus Christ. Won't you stand with me? I'm going to pray and then we're going to respond. Jesus, God, give us patience and give us endurance so that we can be more effective in our walk with You and in our areas of life. God, help us to be strong in the midst of the trial. Help us to be smart in the midst of the trouble. And when it comes to being tired, help us to not stop, but to keep going. In Your name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.